have a message for you. The theme of this conference is marvel. And keep all my notes in here for all the good preachers so I can copy off these preachers. And I do. I have notes. I got everything that Pastor Charlie said, Brother Skelly, and wrote down Brother Andre's. And so I use all of those things in time for preaching and teaching. They don't care. I mean, they say, well, they think it's just, now I give credit where credit is due and when it's needed, but the point of it is that I use those things. They help me. This morning, I'm going to preach to you a message about marvel, somewhere you read a story and you find that people marveled at something that happened. And marvel literally means that a person is you're in wonder. Something holds your admiration, or it means to be surprised or to be in amazement, to be astonished. So I want you to take your Bibles and let's see what time it is. It's about 5 minutes to 11 or somewhere near there. Is that right? So I'm not going to keep you too long. I know we're going to the picnic, go to eat and all those things. So I want to say thank you to all of you youth pastors and pastors. Thank you for my son and his wife being here. And thank God for Pastor Kenny for this conference. And I thank God for Pastor Clark and what I've learned from him over the years at Solid Rock Baptist Church. And just one of the things that did not happen, that's part of God's plan too. I did not meet Pastor Charlie Clark until he came here, 13, 14 years ago at Crossroads Baptist Church. And I think I met him, how many years ago? Yeah, 16 years ago. But I met him through Pastor Kenny Baldwin. And what a great joy it has been just knowing him and knowing the ministry there in the church there at Solid Rock and meeting the people and just the time of fellowship we've been able to have over the years there. So I appreciate the minister, appreciate him and what I've learned and gleaned from his passion, his heart for young people. And one of the things that first attracted me and that I knew, I said, he loves young people. Yes, sir. It's no doubt about it. He just had a heart for teenagers and young people, and he loved them. And I said, Lord, I that's a man that I can glean from and learn from, and thank God that I've gotten to know him over the years to some degree and be able to fellowship with him. So thank God for you, Pastor Charlie. Thank God for you, Pastor Kenny, and the rest of you men that are here as well. And I remember Pastor Skelly from back Walkertown days. We used to take our teenagers there and doing some skits, and he was very, very funny and preached as well, but thank God for him as well. Now, I want you to turn the Bible to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to see a message where people marvel. And I want to try to relate it to this conference, relate it to our teenagers here. We got some men here and some young ladies here. But I want to try to relate it as best I can just with three basic thoughts, three simple thoughts. I'm going to read the story, and you're familiar with the story perhaps. If not, then you'll be able to follow along and read this story, and then preach to you these three points that I believe the kind of Christians or the kind of teenagers that we need in churches that will cause people to marvel. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And they gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and notice and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God. Lord, we thank you that you are the all-knowing, all-wise, all-seeing, unchangeable, loving, merciful, gracious God. Lord, we thank you just for being God. Lord, we thank you that you're the God of heaven and that there is no other God like our God. He does whatever he pleases in the earth and in the seas and in all the deep places. Lord, so we thank you. We want to bring honor and glory to your name today through the preaching, through the teaching of the word of God. And then, Lord, I pray that you might speak to every heart in this place this morning. I thank you for these young people, for their churches, the youth pastors, the pastors, the workers, the laborers, the young people themselves. And God, I pray that you might use this time for your glory. We've been created, designed, saved to bring glory to your name. And all that we do is to bring glory unto your name. So help us, Lord, this day to glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this story, Acts chapter, Peter and John had gone up to the temple to pray, and they had encountered this lame man. This man, now when you find later on in Acts chapter 4, Acts 5 somewhere, you find that this man is 40 years old or older, and he's been lame from his mother's womb for the most part, never walked. And so here he lays at a beautiful gate of the temple there of Solomon, and as people go into the temple to pray and worship, and here come two of the apostles, Peter and John, and they see this man, and people are walking by, passing by, and they see this man, and they said they look on this man, and says, and as they looked on this man, it says in verse number 4, in Peter, it says, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, as they fastened their eyes upon this man, it said, this man, he was expecting to receive something from them. Now, listen to me, young people. Listen to me. The lost world expects to see something from God's people. Listen, maybe they've heard that God's people are just different. Maybe they've heard that as Christians, they live differently. They talk differently. They act differently. They have a different source of power than we do. They don't get so bent out of shape when things happen. Maybe they heard some things like that. Perhaps they'd heard that God's people are compassionate. But it says this man, verse 5, says he was expecting to receive something of them. It says there in verse number 5. Now, the lost world expects something from you. Now listen to me carefully. As Peter and John held this man, he was asking for an alms. An alms, of course, is just some deed of charity. And he was, like we've seen people on the street sometimes holding up a sign saying, I'm hungry. This man was at the temple where people go up to pray. And he was asking for some deed of charity. And as he was asking for some deed of charity, he saw Peter and John, God's men, two disciples come by. And it said they stopped. They paid attention to him. They fastened their eyes upon him. And it says, silver and gold have I none. But it said, listen, such as I have, give I unto thee. You see, the first thing they look for, they gave this man some attention. People just walking by. Some people didn't put anything in it. Maybe had a hat. Maybe he didn't had a lap or whatever he had. Some people just walked by and went on up into the temple. They was going up to pray to God, and they just passed on by. But when Peter and John came by, they said, listen, we don't have any money. We don't have any silver and gold. But what we do have, he said, but such as we have, give I unto thee. So you know what Peter gave and John gave to this man? What every one of you can give. Listen to me carefully. See, this illustration here shows that what this man needed and what you have to give illustrate that the basic human emotional psychological need that every person needs, but every person can give. They gave this man some attention. Just a little attention. See, a lot of you, sometimes all you need is just a little attention. Sometimes you go about to get it in a way that is not helpful. But sometimes all you're calling for is just a little attention. So you need attention, but you also can give attention. Then they gave some assurance. It says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then it says, they gave some assistance. It said they took him by the right hand and and lifted him up his head there in verse number 7. Now listen to me carefully. Because Peter and John gave this man some attention. They gave him a little assurance. And they gave him assistance. I want you to notice what happened. It says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, verse 7. And it says, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the Bible says, and he leaping up, stood. And says, he went with them walking and leaping and praising God. Now you think about what happened. And keep in mind, 40 years, this man had been asking for alms. And all of a sudden, he's coming to the temple house of God. The Bible says he leaping up. Says he stood and says now he's walking. He's going to the house of God. He's walking and leaping and praising God. Can think about walking and leaping and praising God. Never walked before, but now he's walking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Can you imagine? And now notice what it says next. And all the people saw him walking and praising him in verse number 9. And notice what happened. It says, and they knew that it was he which had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with what? Wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now let me give some definition right quickly. And then I'm get to the message. I got 3 points for you this morning. The kind of Christian that we need in our churches, the kind of teenagers that we need in our churches that will cause people to marvel and wonder. Here, it said they were filled with wonder. It means they were dumbfounded, like some of you looking right now. Dumbfounded. They're like, what is it the same man that was at the gate, at the temple gate there lining at the went in, and he was begging for alms, and now he's in the house of God walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Is it the same man? And so now, they were dumbfounded. They were astonished. But not only that, it said they were filled with amazement. This is an interesting word. It said the word literally means that they were out of their mind. It literally means that they were in a, listen, let me read a definition to you. It means to throw or to cast down. It means the throwing off of the mind of its normal state. Their minds have been displaced. It's like, what happened to these people? They're lunatic. What's going on here? It means a sudden emotion as if a person is transported. You're sitting there, but you've been transported outside of your body. But your mind is seeing some things and telling you some things. And though you're surrounded by all these teenagers, all these people in the church of God, you're surrounded by all these things, but all that you see is what's going on in your mind. And you see that what you're seeing in your mind is a divine thing that you're seeing and you're perceiving with your eyes and your ears, but it's all in your mind, and it's like this is a divine thing. This means something more than what I'm seeing. They were amazed. Feel. Listen again. It's the throwing of the mind out of its normal state. It's alienation of the mind, whether such as makes a man lunatic, or that of a man who by some sudden emotion is transported as if it were out of himself, so that in this condition he is awake, but his mind is drawn off from the surrounding object and is wholly fixed on things divine, so that nothing but the forms and the things in his mind is what he perceives to be divinely from God. They were amazed. But that's not all the story. It says in Acts chapter 3, look at verse number 12. And when Peter saw it, because they were greatly wondering, and said, when Peter saw it now, Peter saw the wonderment, the amazement. So these folks, they're amazed. And when he says, and when he saw it, it says, he asked them this question. He answered unto the people, verse number 12, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now, Peter asked So why are you marveling at this as if we've done this? If we have some power. See, this miracle, this amazement, this marvel, this wonder was designed by God to attract the attention to afford the apostles now an opportunity to preach Christ to the crowds. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever done anything miraculous in your life that allowed you to be a witness and preach Christ to the crowd? Has he ever done anything marvelous in your life? Did you get saved? That's a marvelous work. That's enough witnessing. That's enough testimony. That's enough amazing thing right there to get you to tell somebody about Christ. See, it's often said this. We become like those with whom we associate. It's a true saying. As a matter of fact, the Bible states like this as a principle. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Listen, it's often said that we become like those with whom we associate, and the principle in Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 13:20 tells us that that is absolutely so. And listen, you become like those with whom you keep company, or those of whom you keep company become like you. Do you realize that there's some young people that, as a 60-some-year-old man, that I don't necessarily, now I love you, but I don't want to spend a lot of time with them because they're ungodly. And if I spend too much time with them, and listen, if I'm not influencing them for righteousness, they might be influencing me for unrighteousness, ungodliness. So, well, no, but you're a preacher, and but you're an older man, and you know better. Yes, you become like those with whom you keep company. Listen, the only difference is this. Whoever has the greatest influence normally determines the nature of that relationship. Whoever has the greatest influence normally is going to determine the relationship. Listen. The outcome of that relationship. And a lot of times, because we have a sin nature that's bent towards evil, you find that many times your good morality is taken advantage of by evil influences. All right. Evil communication, evil companions corrupt good morality, corrupts good manners. Now, look at Peter and John. We've seen this story in Acts 3. Now, notice we're going to Acts 4. In the case of Peter and John, they had become like the one with whom they kept company. See, they had become like the one with whom they kept company, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this narrative, Peter and John had been teaching and preaching and the people about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes place after this man had been healed. He comes into the temple with them. He's walking and leaping and praising God. And the officials of the city, they notice, all of a sudden, they notice that they preach in Acts 4. Notice here, it says, and they spake unto the people, verse number 1, Acts 4, the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. This is the story. This man come to the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Peter and John have paid attention to him. They have given him some assurance that in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He says, silver and gold have I none. He said, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to me, Kevin. He didn't just say Jesus Christ of anybody. He says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There are a lot of Jesuses, but there's only one Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's only one Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, listen, in his name, this man rise up and walk. So he goes into the temple, and he's walking. And listen, this man is leaping, praising God. So now Peter goes into the temple. He's preaching about the resurrection. Now, the Sadducees hate that because they don't believe in the resurrection. The temple is the place where the Pharisees have great authority, and they're the one to make the decision about who preaches when and where. And so they're preaching, and they put them in jail. It said they laid their hands on them, and they put them in jail. And listen, but by this time now, because of this testimony of this man walking and leaping and praising God, because Peter and John and the other apostles are preaching the word of God, it said now that 5,000 men have been saved. The officials of the city said, wait a minute. We have to shut this down, slow it down, stop this thing. We have to get rid of this leaping up man that's walking and leaping and praising God. We have to get rid of this nonsense. We have to stop them right now. Now, this is what the notable miracle says later on. They could not deny that this man who had been lame has now come to the house of God walking and leaping and praising God. They can't deny it. It says later on, it was a notable miracle that they could not deny. And so they locked Peter and John up, the apostles. And then it says this. Verse number 6, Acts 4. It came to pass, verse 5, on the morrow, the rulers together, the elders, the high priest, Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, Alexander, they gathered all together, and here they take, they sit in the midst of them, these apostles, Peter, James, and John. They set them in the midst. But I want you to notice, Peter and John, as they sat in the midst, it says in verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? It then says, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither there is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now notice, now when they saw, notice the boldness, what's the word? The boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Notice the next word. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, this is my message. It says there was a trait about John, Peter, and John that when they sat before that Sanhedrin council, a powerful, educated, elitist men that had the authority to have them perhaps pronounce judgment and execution upon their lives. It said that when they sat before that council, in the midst of that council, had been locked up in jail, said Peter stood up and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it said that the council noticed one thing about them. Now, what was that one thing that they noticed? It's right here in verse number 13, Acts 4:13. Notice. Now when they saw the boldness. The boldness. These were bodacious people. These were brave men, fearless, daring, brazen, courageous men. And the Bible said the reason they were like that is because they had been with Jesus. Now, the boldness of Peter and John is a trait that would do us all well to emulate. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning, and we'll be done here in the next 15, 20 minutes, or next whenever time God gives. The first thing you see here is this. We need some young people. Brother Andre talking about leaders. I'm telling our youth director, we have to get some leaders in our youth ministries. Now, not that there aren't any, but we need some that'll listen. First of all, they need to be bold enough to speak up with authority. Now, I want you to get this picture. When Peter and John sat in that Sanhedrin council, this Sanhedrin council was a group of Jewish men and the 72 men, and they would make judgment. They had the authority to pronounce judgment upon any Gentile that entered the temple, or any Jew that brought a Gentile into the inner court of the temple. They had the authority to pronounce judgment and even to have them executed, though they might not execute themselves. The Roman government would do that, but they had the authority to pronounce judgment of the sentence of death on anybody that violated the Jewish laws and rules. And here's Peter and John sitting before this council. And these men says, about what name? Who gave you the authority to do what you've done? Who told you to preach in this name anymore? Who told you to do what you've done? And they're sitting. They're looking at these stern faces and these hard hearts. And they know that their answer could be that they might be executed. They might be killed. And Peter, the Bible says, Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost said, ye men of Israel and all you people, you Sanhedrin council, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, you want to know about what name or what power, about whose authority? He says, I tell you by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands before you here whole. Listen, we need some young people that are bold enough to speak up. I heard a scripture, Proverbs 28, said the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The lion which turneth not away from any. Listen, in the days in which we live, I'm telling you right now, young people, my days are waning and I'm getting older and getting closer to the Lord's return and closer to the Lord's coming. And maybe if the Lord should turn his coming, I'm probably going to die before you do if we live just naturally. But the point of it is this. The days in which you live, we're going to need some young people that are going to be bold enough to stand up and to speak up. Listen, notice. It says, they spoke up with authority. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when they were examined, said, by what power? Who gave you the authority? By what name? In whose name are you doing these things? In the name, in the power, and in the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen, you're born again believers. We have a sovereign God. Sovereignty means that nobody tells your God what to do. Nobody can stop him from doing what he wants to. He is an all-powerful God. El Shaddai. Listen to me carefully. Every time I talk about God being an all-powerful God, I can never forget Job 26:14, I think the verse is there. It talks about that we just have a little bit parts of God's power. Listen, when we say God is all-powerful, omnipotent, El Shaddai, Almighty God, it means that he can determine what he wants done and he can get it accomplished, and there's nobody in God's creation that can prevent him from doing it.
That's right.
What he wants to do in my life and in your life, nobody can stop him. That's sovereignty and that's the power of God. But listen, it says that when it comes to God's power, and I want you to think of everything that you know about God's power from Genesis to Revelation. From the time that Moses crossed the Red Sea, part of the Red Sea, the Jordan River rose up in the heap, the fact that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the fact that he saved my soul, all of the powerful thing that you think, he made the sun stand still in Joshua's day. He had the stars fighting in the book of Judges down in Barak and Deborah's day. But listen to me carefully. The Bible says that all of that power that's been manifested that we know about, and he called the sun to come up this morning. Listen, he says all that is just like the scrapings off a piece of burnt toast of his power. Listen, everything that you know and that I know about God and his power is so minuscule and so minute to who he really is. He says, I can do everything I want to do. That's the God. He says, in the name of his son, is the power of authority we have. And that's the power and the authority that you have. And that's why you need to be bold enough, listen, to speak up with authority. Because you have authority. They gave a scripture explanation. Look at verses 8. He says, you want to know why? If we this day be examined, he says in verse 9, of good deeds, he said, I want to be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. It's in verse number 10 there in Acts 4. He says, we need some young folk that are bold enough, first of all, to speak up. Secondly, we need some young people that are bold enough to stand up. See, Peter spoke up. He said, you want to know by what power, what name, what authority that we've done this? And then so they noted down in verse number 17 of this chapter, it says, they realized, they marveled that these men were unlearned and ignorant and said that they had been with Jesus. But it says this, verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Now keep in mind, this man has been lame for 40 years. But now he's in the temple walking and leaping and praising God and standing there with Peter and John. And as they sit before this Sanhedrin council, and they said they could say nothing against it. But it says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So listen, they're like, what are we going to do? Listen, the man, we know this is the same man. We know that he laid outside the gate of the temple for years. We know he comes every day regularly when the temple meets. And now all of a sudden he's in the house of God. He's in the temple of God. He's worshiping God. He's walking, leaping, and praising God. What are we going to do? How are we going to stop? 5,000 people have already been saved. Now, what are we going to do? Aside from the 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost. So they're saying, we got to stop this. So notice what they tell him. Notice verse 16. What shall we do? It says to these men. It didn't say what we're going to do with them. They're thinking about what are we going to do to them. It says, for that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. And so verse 17 says, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now what are you going to do if somebody tell you that you can't any longer speak in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Let me ask you, what are you going to do? If it's the appropriate time and you're not at Caesar's workplace or something, and even if you are and there's an appropriate time where you can do it, what are you going to do? Are you going to hold your peace? Are you going to speak up? These men were threatened. But I want you to notice, they were threatened. And it says, and they should call them and commanded them, verse 18, not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto us, God, unto God rather, judge ye. He said, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. And so they threatened them and they let them go. Now notice what happened. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Hear it out. They went back and listen, they're rejoicing. It said in Acts 4, they're rejoicing. They go back and tell all their company, go back to their company to tell them about what's happening, how reported all that the chief priests had done, all the elders had said. And then now they go back in Acts 4, they're rejoicing. And then it said that they prayed to the Lord and said, and when they had prayed, the place where they prayed was shaken together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it said, go back to Acts 4:31. I told you Acts 5, Acts 4:31. Now they're rejoicing because they've been threatened not to teach, not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They go back to their own company, their own fellowship, and they go back and tell all the brethren, all the Christians, all the believers, and they're rejoicing. It says in verse number 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to do, that's to be done. It says, and now, Lord, they're praying, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now listen, young people, they have been threatened not to preach, not to teach in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it says, they're praying and asking God to give us boldness to teach and to speak and to preach. They're asking God for boldness to do what they have been threatened not to do. Notice in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And notice, they spake the word of God with, what's the word? Boldness. See, people will marvel when you stand up with all authority for the things of God. They will marvel when you speak the truth of God, when you have to speak it up and stand up alone. The reason why we don't have any spiritual leaders, we do have some, and when I say don't have any, that's a generalization. We do have some fine young men and some young ladies that are spiritual leaders in youth ministries across America, in these churches perhaps. But the point is, we don't have enough. And the reason why we don't have more young men that would take spiritual leadership is because they're not bold enough to speak up with all authority. And they're not bold enough to stand up if they have to stand up alone. Amen. Hey, I can tell you a few stories about Brother Kenny. Pastor Kenny, when they had to take a stand alone to speak up, we'd go down to the youth conference and he would be, amen! Everybody else looking around. The preacher said, I like that. Make the preacher preach harder. But one, listen, I have three sons. One of them is here. My oldest son is here. by the grace of God, all of them help in the work of the ministry, and their wives and our children, their children. And by the grace of God, we ask God to give us more help in that work. But listen, in our youth ministries and among churches, and listen, we just need men that say, I'll stand up, I'll speak up. I'll stand up with boldness, with all authority, because I have it in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I'll stand up if I have to stand up alone in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They stood up. He says, and they prayed and they asked God for boldness. They weren't asking for boldness to just do what they want to do. They said, Lord, grant us boldness that we might be able to speak thy word. When the last time you prayed and asked God to give you boldness to be a witness for God? Think about it. You ask, listen, see, we're in this internet age and age of technology advancement and scientific advancement, all these things, and we have people that are bold when it comes to social media. Right. They will attack, they will say things, but how are you when you're face to face, facing the enemy and need to be a witness for the Lord, and will you stand up? See, we need some young people that are bold enough to speak up with authority. I'm telling Brother, I think Raphael, that when Brother Andre was teaching this morning, and I remember there were times where in the youth ministry where when Brother Andre wanted to do some things, and he was a single young man by that time, and some of the singles were, they wanted to go off in another course and do other things, and he was angry, and he called and said, Brother Steve, President, they want to do this. And he wanted to go to church and do other things. They want to do other things. Listen, some of them not even serving God today. And I would tell him how he would oftentimes he would help to carry out the and execute the instructions of the youth ministry in the work. And he would just say, hey, do what needs to be done. And sometimes he had to do it alone. Everybody wasn't for that. And if you stand up for the things of God, sometimes you can find yourself alone. But listen to me carefully. Like Brother Skelly pointed out last night, you got to realize, but there's a God in heaven. And remind yourself, preach to yourself, like I said, that there's a God in heaven. Bold enough to stand up, if you have to stand up alone, against fierce and focused opposition to Sanhedrin Council. And lastly, now notice, they're locked, they put in jail again, they pray for boldness to preach the word of God. He says, and that we spake the word of God with boldness. And it says in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and neither said of them any thing of all things were possessed was his own, but that all they had all things common. And then in Acts chapter 5, now we get there, notice they're preaching again, and it says, now in verse number 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, Acts 5:14, insomuch that they brought forth the sick folk into the street, and it says that Peter passing by, he overshadowed some of them, and there came also a multitude out of the city, Acts 5:16, round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles again, and put them in the common prison. But an angel of the Lord let them out, opened the prison door for them, brought them forth, and it says, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple, and early in the morning, and they taught. Now, they're preaching and teaching. Folks are still being saved. Multitudes are getting saved. Now, the Sadducees come in and put him in prison again. And an angel comes and opens the prison doors. And he tells them, go, stand, and speak in the temple. Now, the temple is the place that the Pharisees and the Sadducees has already threatened them and told them, don't you preach and teach in the name of Jesus anymore. But they're locked up again, get out of jail, and they go right to the temple, the place that they have been threatened not to preach, not to teach, in the name that have been threatened not to teach, not to preach, and they go right to the temple. And so now when the high priest and when the guards and officials come looking for them, they go and report back to the high priest. They say, listen, they're not here, but they're standing in the temple preaching in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Notice with me, let's read it in Acts chapter 5 for a moment. It says, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came and they were with him and called the council together. That's that Sanhedrin council that Peter talked to there. And all the senators of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officer came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of themselves whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. They're exactly where the council told them not to be, standing in the temple. And then when the captain and the officers brought them with violence, for they feared the people lest they should have them stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in the name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. They said, didn't we tell you one time? We're not going to tell you again. Didn't we tell you not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus Christ? Now, why are you doing it again? And in the temple where we told you not to come, you spread this doctrine of this man Jesus and the resurrection all over Jerusalem. And notice, these are men that stood up with boldness. They spoke up with all authority. Then Peter, verse number 29, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Uh-oh. Listen to me carefully. We live in an age where things are just changing culturally. Our governments, our nation tell us that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry men, women. But a change of circumstance doesn't change what God said. See, write that principle down. A change of circumstance doesn't change what God said. What God said about all these things in his revelation have not changed in 2018, and they won't change. A change of circumstance doesn't change anything that God said. And God said a lot of things about all those things. Now, he said, and Peter said, and the God of our father raised up Jesus whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. And so now notice, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to kill them. Now, not only have they threatened them, they're getting ready to thrash them. Listen, they have threatened these men. They continue to preach and teach. And now it says, what are we going to do to them? So they determined that they're going to kill them. Then stood there up one of the Pharisees, that's Gamaliel, told about, leave these men alone, that they're of God, it's going to come to pass. If they're not of God, it'll come to naught. But then in verse 38, it says this, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught, or come to naught. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happen you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had noticed, had called the apostles, and notice these words, and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And notice what happened next. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. Now, it says, when these men of the Sanhedrin Council saw the boldness of Peter and John and those apostles, it says they marveled. They were amazed. They threatened them. They thrashed them. And they went away rejoicing, saying, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They were bold enough to speak up with authority. They were bold enough to stand up when they had to stand up alone. Lastly, they were bold enough to put up. They sacrificed. You see, young people, We need some Christians and we need some teenagers that are bold enough to speak up with authority, to stand up if you have to stand up alone, and to be willing to sacrifice all. And when the world sees that kind of Christian, that kind of teenager, they're going to marvel.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And they're going to realize it's going to give you an opportunity to teach and talk to them about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because not everybody is bold enough
right.
to speak up with authority.
Right.
Not everybody is bold enough to stand up when you have to stand up alone. And not everybody is willing to sacrifice if it means you have to sacrifice all. That's the kind of Christian, and that's the kind of teenagers we need in churches today. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Help us, Lord, to understand that we want to honor you and honor the laws of the land. But when the laws of the land often contradict the laws of God, we have to have some men and women, boys and girls, some Christians, some teenagers that'll be willing to be bold enough to speak up with authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To stand up, they have to stand up alone when threatened, when thrashed, and be willing to sacrifice all for the cause of Christ, because he sacrificed all for us. And we'll thank you, we'll praise you for what you do in each of our lives as we give ourselves continually to you. Bless now the remainder of this day, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.